Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carl Nordgren, and you're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Thank you so much for joining us. As the introduction says, I take an expansive view on what it means to be creative. Why is that? That's because I think that as soon as somebody tried to define creativity, you'd start to limit one's thinking about it. But by inviting people to develop an expansive view about creativity, they get to embrace, they get to develop all the very, very many, many different facets of what it means to be creative and what it means to be entrepreneurial. And that's what the show is all about. We want to give you lots of perspectives on it so you can shape your own understanding, the one that works best for you. One of the ways, if you're a regular listener, you know that I do this, is by bringing in some really wonderful guests, some creative guests, folks that have got lives that they really can share with you in a way that just can get you excited and motivated about taking care of your life and doing what you can with it in a creative fashion. My guest today is Ken Weatherington. He's a local writer. He's got more than 24 published short stories. His story, Singapura, was nominated for the American Short Story Anthology. And folks, I grew up as a writer and I just always bought whatever, you know, the American Short Story Anthology and just used to read that from cover to cover. What a wonderful representation it was of the American short story body of work. I'm jealous as I can be that Ken was nominated to be in that anthology. And he was also the first runner-up for the International Harambe Literary Prize with a different short story of his, The Brothers Evanger. I will include his info for his books and his website. I'll include that on the Chapelboro website, the chapelboro.com website. It will be there on Wednesday when his interview with us here is posted. And so if you want, when you want to follow up and learn more about his books, you can go there for that resource. Ken, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about hearing you talk about your stories and your process. But before we get into that, I'd like to hear, you know, let the listeners know a little bit more about you. I know you've got some UNC ties. I know you're local. So tell us a little bit more about you, and then we'll get into your writing.
Yes, thank you. I was born in Duke Hospital, so I haven't strayed too far from home. My working career is composed of 32 years working in academic libraries, the first half of that in the UNC library system and the second half of that in the Duke University library system. So I have all the shades of blue covered in my background.
But folks, he is wearing Carolina blue on his shirt is Carolina blue as we sit here, just to let y'all know.
It seemed appropriate for this station. So I have always been interested in writing, even as a small child. I wrote little short stories with spaceships and haunted castles and things like that. And I've dabbled in writing all my life. As I approached retirement age, I began to become a little more serious about it with the main purpose of keeping my mind active and not letting that atrophy at all or as little as possible.
So it began as a creative exercise to nurture yourself.
Absolutely. I had no intentions of anything beyond that. But at one point, in 2013, I joined a writing group. My writing got better. I started submitting a few stories every now and then for publication just to see what happened. And to my surprise, one of them got published. And then
what was the first story that got published?
It was called Black Bear Lake. It's a story that's set in the North Carolina mountains. I went to school at Western Carolina University up there, and so it's set in and around the Western Carolina campus, though it's never mentioned by name. But okay. Those that attended Western Carolina will recognize it.
And so how many rejections did you have before you got that first acceptance?
How much time do you have?
So it's more than a couple.
Rejections are part of the process.
Absolutely.
Everyone I know has many, many more rejections than they do acceptances. So I hear writers when they're first starting out, they get upset because they have a rejection or two. My advice to them is get over it. The rejections are going to come. No writer pleases everyone. You know, Shakespeare has his detractors. So don't worry about it.
Well, a whole different genre. Santana's incredible first album was turned down by the first four record labels that listened to it. So, yes.
Yeah. Hard to believe.
So you got your first short story published, and this you've been writing, therefore, in this with this more professional view of it for roughly a decade.
Decade and a half, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So once you get one story published, you get hungry for the next one, and one followed the other there for a good while. So I was very pleased with the way that was developing. And a friend of mine, who is actually on the faculty at the University of Kentucky, pushed me to collect some stories and get a book published. And back in 2020, I published my first collection entitled Santa Abella and Other Stories. And I followed it up about a year ago with another collection called In the Eye of the Beholder. Both books are available on Amazon.
In the Eye of the Beholder, and what was the first one?
Santa Abella and Other Stories.
Santa Abella.
Bella and yeah. Other Stories.
Okay, great. And the challenge of curating your own work to determine what belongs in a collection, that's something I've not ever done before. Is there anything about that process of deciding what story gets in and what story doesn't that is interesting that you might want to share with us?
Well, they're all like your children. You love them all, though some are clearly better than others. And so it was a fairly easy process to pick the ones I felt like were the best. And that's true on both my collections. And some of them that didn't make it into the books are available to read freely on my website. So,
hey, yeah.
So check that out.
Well, we're going to talk more about what's on your website. We're going to talk more about your writing when we come back from the break. Folks, I told you we were going to have some fun this morning. Come on back from the break, and we'll have more from Ken about his stories and just about writing fiction in general. Thanks.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. My guest today has been Ken Wetherington. Ken is a short story writer, a local writer. Ken has deep roots here in the area, having worked in the academic libraries of both UNC and Duke. Began taking his short story writing, I don't want to say seriously, but really committing at a whole nother level to it about 15 years ago, and has had great, great, great success. I want to share with you all just a little bit. I told Ken I was going to say this. I hold all storytellers in very high esteem. Boy, there's just so much importance in stories being well told and stories being shared. And I believe that the short story writer needs to be maybe credited most of all, because here's what a short story writer does. They invest a significant amount of themselves, of their time, of their soul, of their understanding of plot and people into a story that's just filled with impact that the reader doesn't have to invest anywhere near as much in, right? I mean, a novelist asks a lot of the reader. A short story writer is just gifting the reader with such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful content. And we're not asking much in return. We just need you to sit down and quickly go through and read this short story. So I just love short story writers. Ken, thank you very much for being one. Here's maybe something that can you can pick up on. I think for my fiction writing, I see myself as a rewriter as much as I see myself as a writer. You know, I'm just constantly rewriting. What's your process in that regard?
The editing process is long and can significantly change the story. I have an outline, but as you edit, sometimes, especially endings, can be sometimes difficult to strike the right tone. You know where you want to go, but getting it worded properly and getting all the events that lead up to it in a row can take a little manipulation with the original plan.
And so, listeners here have heard me compare and contrast the creative processes, again, a different artistic expression of Picasso and Cézanne. Picasso did not start his paintings until he knew exactly what he was going to do, says he. Cézanne just got started and let the painting tell him what the painting should be. I think a novelist can be either. I sometimes think a short story writer has got to be a Picasso, right? If you're going to get it done in that short period of time, you have to have a pretty good picture of what it is you're going to do. But please tell us how you look upon that.
It varies from story to story. Some stories are much clearer all the way through in the beginning. Others are more flexible. You have a general sense of where you're going. One story that I wrote was about two brothers, and it starts out one is up all night partying and then the other. And I had it in my mind that the brother that's up all night partying was actually a vampire. But as the story developed, the vampire elements disappeared, and in the end, they're not there at all.
Wow.
So
wow, that's quite a transition.
Yeah, and that is the story that was the first runner-up for the Harambe Literary Prize.
Oh, yeah. How marvelous. Yeah. That's very cool. So it surprised you.
It surprised me. So my characters always surprised me. Before I was a writer, I heard many writers say that characters surprised them. And well, how can that be? They're the ones writing.
Right.
And once I started writing, I said, yep, that's the way it is.
I had a wonderful writing professor back at Knox College who said, if you're not surprised by your characters, you sure can't expect your audiences to be surprised by your characters.
Right. And I always feel like my characters exist before the story starts and that they continue to exist after the story ends.
We just fist bumped on that one, folks. That's great. That's great. I love that. I love that. So you're picking them up and carrying them along and then dropping them back off again.
That's right.
Well, that's so cool. Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And I write almost entirely in first person. So I feel very intimate with my characters.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know that I've taken on first-person writing much.
Yeah. So it's the most natural way of writing to me because we all live our lives in first-person.
Exactly. Exactly. Right on. So do you write longhand initially? Do you go get a keyboard immediately? What's your – talk about that technology part of your writing process.
In most cases, the beginnings are writing longhand on a legal pad, and it can be a lot of half sentences and abbreviations, not a formal outline, but a rough summary in shorthand almost.
Okay.
And it'll be relatively short, half a page at the most of handwritten notes. I'll type those into the computer and then I'll start writing the story right there on the same page. So the outline slides further down the page, but it's always there to refer to when I need to.
Nice. It has an organic feel, an emergent organic feel for me as I hear you talk about it.
And every time I come back to the story, I read up to the point where I've stopped. So I'm into the story and the flow is there and I can pick it up and continue.
And you're in your office?
I have used to be one of my son's bedrooms, but they're all up and out of the house many years now. So one has turned into my office.
One has turned into your office. Do you go outside? I mean, is your environment at all part of your process, or you're just really you're a committed writer right there in your office?
Right there in the office. I keep the room dark except for a little lamp by the computer, so it's basically just me and the computer screen. Sometimes I can have a little music if it doesn't have lyrics. Lyrics
can't have lyrics.
Yeah. So
once a day, twice a day. How long each session usually?
That can vary a great deal depending on how the story is going. Generally, mornings and a couple of cups of coffee will help me get going in the mornings. And if I'm really if the story's really flowing, I might write at other times during the day, okay. But mostly mornings.
Well, Vonnegut said it about a novel, not about a short story, but he said anybody can write a novel. All you have to do is get up and write a sentence every day. Well, Ken, this has been great. We got another segment coming, folks, where we get to hear more about Ken's thinking. I think maybe he's even going to read something from one of his short stories, and I'm really looking forward to that. So come on back from the break, folks.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back, folks. We've been talking to Ken Wetherington about his short stories, his award-winning short stories. He's got over 24 short stories published. We've heard a bit about his writing process. We're going to hear some more about the worlds that he explores in his short stories. And then I hope we can get Ken, we'll have some time for him to read from one of his short stories. So Ken, tell us about the worlds that you explore.
There are three main areas that probably most of my stories fall into. My earliest stories featured lonely, solitary characters that didn't fit into the world, couldn't find their place. They were often unemployed or underemployed. Maybe they didn't go to college or didn't finish college, or they may be divorced or separated from their partners. So these characters are dealing with problems with money, jobs, relationships, and I think almost everybody can relate to that at one point in their life.
At most points, probably.
I also have quite a few stories that fall into a dystopian future categories, and they are not all visions of the same future. They're all separate, completely different visions of the future. We don't know how the future is going to turn out, so I guess you could say I'm covering my bets there. another category that I have been writing more in lately is about the nature of celebrity. I've always been a big film buff. I've read a great deal of Hollywood history and biographies and that sort of thing. So a lot of my stories about celebrity deal with the movie industry, where you might have a starlet trying to break in, or an aging actor trying to revive his career, or an established actor who's struggling with one problem or another.
Very cool.
But they don't – all these stories don't deal with movies in Hollywood. I do have a struggling guitar player and a couple of writers trying to become famous and that sort of thing. So we see the world of celebrity from people who have made it and are on the inside, and we see it from the point of view of people who are on the outside who are trying to get in. So trying to look at different angles of the issue.
And now, folks, we get to hear some of Ken's great writing from one of his short stories. Ken, please share with us an excerpt from one of your short stories.
Thank you, Carl. I'll be reading the opening section of the title story of my latest collection, In the Eye of the Beholder. The little boat bobbed further away, nearly obscured by the angry sea. Over my shoulder, a towering wave rose. I twisted to avoid the impact, but it struck hard, pushing me deep beneath the salty water. The muffled roar of the ocean rushed past, distinctly present, yet strangely remote. I struggled upward, fighting the weight of my clothes. Breaking the surface, I searched frantically for the boat. The spray, driven by the wind, stung my face and blurred my vision. Then I caught a glimpse of the craft sliding toward me. Before I could react, it vanished behind a large swell and almost as suddenly reappeared, elevated by the undulating sea. Another surge lifted and propelled me toward my salvation. I lunged for the boat, falling short as it spun out of reach. Fatigue strained my muscles and I began to sink. From somewhere nearby, a voice, soft at first, then louder, cut through the wind and the rain. "Please, sir, don't touch the art." I blinked. A museum guard stood beside me, his hand on my arm. I blinked again. The vivid seascape had receded to its two dimensions. Sorry, it's such a powerful image. Just don't touch it. Please stay 2 feet from the artwork. He frowned and stepped aside, smoothing down his thin black mustache. I felt him watching as I eased away, the scent of brine lingering in my nostrils.
Oh, my gosh. That was so wonderful, so fun. The comment I was going to make was so visual I was there, but now you're telling me no, I wasn't. That was great, Ken. Thank you. And thank you for being a guest. Any last, you got 10, 15 seconds for any last comment?
Thank you very much. And I hope people will go to my website and find my stories and read them. And I would love to get feedback via my website if anyone has comments.
Wonderful. And as I said at the top of the show, on Wednesday when we post this interview, there will also be a 2 or 3 paragraph summary of the interview that I write for all of the interviews. And in that summary, man, you're going to hear. You're going to get Ken's website. You're going to learn about the titles of the books again. And you're going to be well prepared to get more of this great reading from Ken's short stories. So thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Carl.
And thank you all, folks. Have a great day.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.